You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
All right. Well, welcome to Streams this morning. Man, we had an awesome time in Ecuador. So many just beautiful moments of God's presence and God working in incredible ways. And over the past 2 weeks here at Streams, we've been talking about living in a posture of thankfulness. And Shannon and Josh over the past 2 weeks did an incredible job of talking about living a posture of thankfulness in the midst of triumph and in the midst of trials. And some of you got to experience that in real life over the past week. You know, you lived in the triumph of sitting around a table with a slain bird and eating that for Thanksgiving. The one you went out back and killed yourself. But then some of you faced the place of defeat on Black Friday when you couldn't get the 99-inch TV for $50 and you had to leave the store with your head held low and in defeat and in trial. But in reality of your life, you come into these places where you live in these big highs and then you live in the lows. And that was really kind of encapsulated the past 2 weeks of what does it mean to be thankful in those moments. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this: always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And kind of set that as a backdrop, and Josh did a great job of just explaining how linguistically here, this isn't a verb. This isn't something, I'm gonna be thankful today. I'm going to give thanks in this moment, but I'm literally going to give a lifestyle of thanksgiving. It is a posture that I live my life as in a place of thanksgiving. And when we were preparing for this series, Shannon took triumph, Josh took trials, and I was like, well, okay, now we're at both ends of the spectrum. And I had my word, it was mundane, which, just so you know, we had two T's. We had triumph, we had trial, and then I messed it up with the M word, mundane. We couldn't alliterate there. It was so sad. But the reality is that God just really began impressing on me that sometimes we live in these moments, these triumphal moments where we go, man, God, I want to give you thanks. Thank you for what you're doing. And then sometimes we're in this moment of trial and we're pressing through and we come to this place of thanking God, and then we see God do something miraculous and we're able to thank him for that. But what about the day in and the day out? Mundane's kind of boring. It's just living. It's just being. It's today, the next day, and the next day, and life just happens, and it's kind of the humdrum of life. And it's very easy in our culture to lose sight of being thankful in those moments. Now, it's very appropriate for me to share this message after coming back from Ecuador, because there are some very essential things in my life that I feel like I've taken for granted in the past years. One of those is the combination of hot water and water pressure. You see, in Ecuador, you can get either one, but you cannot get them combined together. Another one is being able to put your toilet paper in the toilet instead of the little trash can that they supply you beside the toilet, because, you know, pipes can't handle that much toilet paper. Another one that I became very, very thankful for were streets with lines and drivers that, for the most part, stay within those lines. You see, in Ecuador, you just have streets. There are no lines, and therefore there are no places for drivers just to stay put. And this time we ventured out, and we had the fun experience of renting cars while we were in Ecuador. And if you want the experience of a lifetime, you just need to go down to Ecuador with Pastor Lloyd, get in a car with him, and take off. And if you want even more of an experience, drive the car behind him trying to keep up. But we had a blast. But yeah, I'm thankful for streets with lines on them now. But we do. We get into these moments in our life where just the things in our life that we fail really to live in a posture of thankfulness for, because they're just there. We just expect to wake up tomorrow and have a shower and have a family and have food and all of these things that are just kind of day in and day out, just a part of our life. And the reality is that we are creatures of habit. We all have, for the most part, morning rituals that we partake in, something that we do when we wake up in the morning that is just kind of our habit. We probably, most of us, have a way that we drive to work. It's the same way we drive every day, and you don't deviate from that. You have this place that you like to go eat lunch every week on Thursday with this certain group of people, and it becomes this habit that you do. Or you have that favorite TV show that every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, you're there. And you're tuned in. But we become creatures of habit. And in those habits, it's very easy for those things to kind of drown out and just become normal things in our life that we fail to be thankful for, that we fail to live in a posture of thankfulness for. We overlook and we take our daily habitual tasks for granted, and we find ourselves in a place where we go, I don't have anything to really be thankful for or unthankful for. Life just is. And it's mundane and it's habitual. And so are we living in a posture of thankfulness there? And it was interesting. So we met on a Tuesday morning, and we're kind of hashing out the series for this month and this posture of thankfulness. And then I left that meeting. I went to a lunch with some other pastors, and they were asking me, hey, what's your church doing? And I was kind of sharing them the series that we were going with. And the guy goes, man, you got to read this book, especially if that's what you're preaching about. It's called The Liturgy of the Ordinary. And actually, I'm taking a few things from this book this morning. But this book really speaks to this place of the day in and day out tasks of our life, the things that we do every single day, and how we can find God and His redemptive nature in those moments. And as I began to study that and understand that, it just was really powerful. And so I ended up landing in Colossians chapter 3. So if you want to go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, this is what it says. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And then verse 17 says this, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Now, I did a little word study, and I came to find out that the word whatever means whatever. Sorry, Josh. But literally in this moment, when he says whatever, he says, whatever you are doing, whether it be triumph or trial or anything in between, live in thanks. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever you do, you're doing it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And this is what I think it means. That our posture of thankfulness represents Jesus. That we can find the beauty and the glory of the grace of Jesus Christ in the way we live in a posture of thankfulness. That people will see Jesus because of that attitude that we live in. And it's so easy to find ourselves in a place where we aren't living in that nature. And what I think it ultimately ends up doing is it cheapens the grace of Jesus. Because of everything that He has done for us, because of the beauty of His death, burial, and resurrection, and we walk in freedom because of that, when we choose not to live in a place of thankfulness, it cheapens the power of what He has done in our life. But when we choose to live as representatives of Jesus, it brings glory and it brings weight to the very sacrifice that He has given us. And I think about the moment where Jesus sat at a table with His disciples, what we know as the Last Supper. And in this moment, right before He was about to go to His death, and He picks two very mundane, ordinary things, bread and wine. And he places down on the table and he looks at his disciples and he goes, every time that you take of this bread and you take of this wine, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember about what I'm about to do, the misery that I'm about to go through to bring salvation to mankind. Two very ordinary, mundane things. And you know, I think about this because we look at the Lord's Prayer, and even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. That this reminder that day in and day out, the very bread, the very sustenance that we take in is not to be taken for granted. And the power that it holds in and of itself. And you know, you think about it. I can't remember what I ate 3 weeks ago on a Monday. It was probably quinoa, but can't be for sure on that. But we don't remember our meals. Our meals aren't necessarily monumental, but yet they bring sustenance to us. They grow us. And without those, we would waste away. And so something so small and so insignificant becomes such a big part of our life that it's so easy for us to not really think about, to not really remember. And as I was reading this book, I came across one story in particular in here that she was sharing about her morning ritual. And she said her normal morning ritual was to get up every morning, roll over on her side, reach over to the side table beside her bed, grab her glowing orb known as a phone, and start scrolling through Facebook and through the various news stories and blogs for the day, and, you know, 3 hours later, finally roll out of bed. But she began to realize that on a day in and day out basis, this was the very first thing that she was consuming. And it was setting the stage for the day. And so then she read a blog about how productive people make their bed in the morning. So she decided to start making her bed. And then she got to a place where every morning she completely changed her ritual to a place where she was getting up in the morning, making her bed, and then sitting on her bed for about 30 minutes in complete silence every morning and spending time in the presence of God. And I love what she wrote in response to that. The point of exchanging my morning liturgy was to habituate myself to repetition, to the tangible, to the work before me, to train myself in this tiny way to live with my eyes open to God's presence in this ordinary day. I'd cultivated a habit from the first conscious moments of my day of being entertained, informed, and stimulated. My brain would dart quickly from stimulus to stimulus, unable to focus, unable to lie fallow. Making my bed and sitting in silence for just a few minutes reminded me that what is most real and significant in my day is not what is the loudest, flashiest, or most entertaining. It is in the repetitive and the mundane that I begin to learn to love, to listen, and to pay attention to God and to those around me. That even in this simple act, it was a posture of thankfulness, of coming to a place of saying, God, I want to be in your presence, and I want to acknowledge you for who you are in this very moment and literally set my day in motion in this posture. There's also, she talked about in this book, a Jewish prayer. And there's a lot of Jewish prayers for different things, but they have a specific prayer for going to the bathroom. And I found this very entertaining and yet very relevant to the message today, so I want to read this to you. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who formed man with wisdom and created within him many openings and many hollows. It is obvious and known before your throne of glory that if even one of them ruptures or if even one of them becomes blocked, it would be impossible to survive and to stand before you even for a short period. Blessed are you, Hashem, who heals all flesh and acts wondrously. So now every time you go to the bathroom this week, that's the prayer you can pray and live in this posture of thankfulness, okay? But it literally is. It's coming to this place in your life where you live in these moments of mundane that you begin to thank God. And I was reading, I started thinking about one of the very simple moments of my life before I eat. Sometimes I don't pray. It's not because I'm not spiritual, but sometimes I just am hungry and I sit down and I eat and I don't pray. And I honestly, as I was thinking through this, became a little bit like, that was a little heavy for me of going, even in those moments, even in that simple act of praying and thanking God before I go to eat, there is a posture of thankfulness that happens, a remembering of the toil or whatever it took to get that that food to the table, a thankfulness to God for even in that moment, for providing. And she says in this book that there is no task too small or too routine to reflect God's glory and worth. And I think this is really where we kind of meet. We go back to Colossians. It says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. When we come to a place where we get lost in the mundane and we see life as mundane and ordinary and plain, it's very easy for us to begin to see ourselves that way. And the ability that we have to pour into other people, that we start to see ourselves as very ordinary and plain and we don't have much to offer. But when you step back and you step into a place of a posture of thankfulness for who God is and what He has created and who He has created us to be, then we start to see ourselves as that representative of Jesus, the very agent of His grace, of taking His grace to the world. And when we start to live in this posture of thankfulness for the things around us and for the very God that has created us, then we start to live out that posture for other people. And we become that representative that Jesus has called us to be. She shares the story of the movie Amazing Grace. And in that movie, William Wilberforce. He was an English abolitionist. And as he's bringing abolition of slavery there were a lot of people that went into that, but he played a huge hand in making that happen. But this is what she says: I am struck by how Wilberforce, through his work, though his work was essential, could not have done what he did without thousands of nameless saints who made tiny daily choices that mattered profoundly, even though they were unsung, unnoticed, and ordinary. You see, we have this gift of sometimes living in the unnoticed, in the ordinary, day in and day out of life. But when we come back to a posture of thankfulness that says, God, You are a part of everything that I do. You are infused in all that I am, and I come to You in thankfulness. I come to You taking time daily to reflect on Your goodness, taking time daily to worship You because of who You are. When I live in that space, the unsung, the ordinary, the unnoticed, things happen. Lives are changed. The little word that you speak to someone may change their life forever. The small act of kindness that you do in a posture of thankfulness changes someone's day. Do we take the moments to look at our kids and say, man, I am thankful for you? Do we take the moments to look at our spouse and say, I am thankful for you? You are good and perfect for me. I thank God that You are a part of my life. Do we take the moments of our days for the things that seem very ordinary and are just a part of life? Do we take the moments to live in a posture of thankfulness, literally representing Jesus Christ when we do those things? So I'm asked the worship team to come this morning, and I'm just going to share a simple thing that you know, if you were kind of in this space of finding it sometimes hard to focus in and say, man, I need to live my days in thankfulness. Just a simple act of quoting Scripture and living and putting yourself in a posture of thankfulness, maybe every morning. Make it the first thing you do when you get out of bed. But literally setting your mind. So if you could stand with me. And what we're going to do, I've got Psalm 100. We're going to say Psalm 100 together, and then we're going to go into a time of worship. Back into the song that we sang, Great Are You, Lord, and speaking of His greatness and who He is and thanking Him for that. But maybe you're here this morning and you didn't resonate with triumph. Your life is saying, I don't really have anything triumphal right now in my life. I didn't really resonate with trial. There's nothing bad in my life right now. I'm just kind of living. I'm just here, breathing today, breathing tomorrow, nothing extravagant. I want to invite you into this space right now to take that ordinary everyday life, turning it into a posture of thankfulness, to say, God, thank You for for this daily bread. So let's say this together this morning. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Father, we thank You that You are great. And we take this moment right now to be in a posture of thankfulness that will continue past this moment into every crevice of our life. So, Father, this morning we sing great, greater, greater You. Great is Your name.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.